Pray these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, which we have just sung together. And I want to turn here with you this morning. When we met with Kenzie and Johanna a couple of weeks ago, I asked each of them what their favorite passages of Scripture were, their favorite books of the Bible, and both of them indicated that the book of Psalms was one of their favorites, and that Psalm 23 was a favorite psalm as well. And so I thought fitting for us as we rejoice with them in Christ's work and in his grace to give our attention for a few moments this morning to the beautiful words of Psalm 23. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open. I know this is a familiar psalm for many of us, but it's always helpful to have the Word of God open before you as we make our way through this wonderful psalm together. Psalm 23. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full attention to it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we take just a short little break from our series on 1 and 2 Samuel, although our passage this morning is certainly closely connected to that series. 1 and 2 Samuel record for us the life of David. And here in Psalm 23, we have a psalm, a song of David, one of the best-known psalms of David, one of the most loved psalms of David. And here, of course, in this psalm of David, David identifies himself as a sheep, as a member of God's flock, as one of the shepherd's lambs. And David rejoices in that. He finds comfort in that. He finds security in that. And so I want to consider with you for a few moments this morning what it means to be one of the shepherd's lambs. And three things that we want to look at here. First of all, that we are cared for in life. And then secondly, that we are kept in death. And then finally, that we are nourished. Not only in this life, not only through death, but through all eternity. And so kept, or rather cared for in life, kept in death, and nourished for all eternity. We begin with David rejoicing in how our shepherd cares for us in life. You remember the way that Psalm 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The very first word of this song, the very first word of this psalm is the word Lord. This is a thoroughly God-centered song, a thoroughly God-centered psalm. David calls God Lord. And you'll notice, if you have your Bibles open yet, that the word Lord is placed in all capital letters. That's our translation's way of telling us that the Hebrew word there is the word Yahweh. That covenant name of God. That name that reminds us that God is a covenant God. He is the covenant Lord. He is the great King. And what is a covenant? Well, a covenant is an agreement where two parties are bound together by promises, by oaths. You might think, for example, of marriage. When a man and a woman are united in marriage, they make promises to one another. They make oaths to one another. They make an agreement with one another. And those oaths, those promises, those vows bind them together in a relationship. And so here at the beginning of Psalm 23, David is thinking upon his relationship with the Lord, and what brings comfort and security to his soul and to his heart is that God is a covenant-keeping God, a God who keeps His promises, a God who keeps His oaths, that He has bound Himself to us with promises, with an unbreakable oath. At the very beginning of this psalm, then, there is relationship, and what a comforting and what a secure relationship it is, because you see the second word of this psalm is that the Lord is my shepherd. The covenant name of God is first, and then a description of what that means is second in the word shepherd. And what is a shepherd? Well, a shepherd is one who is bound to his flock, one who dwells among his flock, one who cares abundantly for his flock. One author has summarized the work of a shepherd as follows. He says, a shepherd is one who knows his sheep. He knows them by name. A shepherd is one who feeds his sheep, makes sure that none of them is hungry or thirsty. A shepherd is one who leads his sheep, who guides them and directs them. And of course, a shepherd is one who protects his sheep. This is what the Lord is to his people. He has bound himself to his sheep as their shepherd. How often do you think of the Lord in that way? Young people, let me ask you that question. How often do you think of the Lord primarily as your shepherd? As boys and girls, and particularly as those who have been blessed with being raised in homes where your parents are believers and where you've gone to church and heard God's word for much of your life, you may remember as a young boy, a young girl, that you thought of the Lord, you thought of Jesus primarily as the one who loves you. You sing that wonderful song, Jesus loves me, this I know. And yet, sadly, sometimes it seems that as we begin to grow up and as we reach our teenage years, that somehow we start thinking that that's not the right song for us to sing anymore. And maybe that's because we become all the more aware of our sin and how prone we are to wander and how prone we are to leave the God we love. And we start to lose some of that confidence that Jesus still loves us, that He's still a shepherd to us. And it's a good thing for us to come back, even as David does here, probably near the end of his life, as he thinks upon his relationship with the Lord. This is the thing that is most precious to him, not simply that the Lord is his great king, not simply that the Lord is his rock and his refuge and his power and his strength and his shield and his high tower, all of which David says in other psalms, but this is the thing most precious to him, that the Lord is my shepherd. In fact, it's very, very personal. David says not simply that the Lord is a shepherd, but that He is my shepherd. There are times when I wish all of us had the ability to see and to read in the original Hebrew how the text appears, because in the original, that little pronoun, my, is added on as a suffix to the word shepherd, so that in the Hebrew text, shepherd and my are literally bound together. David is literally bound to his shepherd. And what's the result of that? Well, the result is found in the last phrase of verse 1, I shall not want. The Lord cares for us as a shepherd cares for a sheep, and so we lack nothing. And again, young people, if I might just underscore that for you for a moment, we live in the midst of a godless culture, a godless world, and it's very easy for us to be so influenced by the culture around us that we start to adopt the culture and the mentality that's all around us, a culture that's always telling us that we need the next and best thing. We need the next phone, and we need the best video games, and we need the best cars and the best clothes, And on the list could go. And so we're always wanting that next thing, the best thing. David was king when he wrote this psalm. He had everything. But that wasn't where he found his comfort. His comfort wasn't in material possessions. His comfort was in his shepherd. And young people, that's our only comfort, ultimately, in life and in death. We belong to the good shepherd. And so, we have all we need. In one of the Lord's Days of the Heidelberg Catechism, it says that our God is one who provides all that we need for body and soul, and that he turns to our good whatever adversity he may send us in this world. And you think of the result of that. We can be patient in times of adversity. And we all know those times. You know them even as young people. There are times when it just seems like everything is going against us. There are times when we can't make sense of life. Whether it be what's going on in school, what's going on with our friends, what's going on in the events that we are involved in, what's going on in our relationships, it doesn't always make sense to us. And sometimes it seems everything is going against us. In such times, we can be patient, knowing that our shepherd is still caring for us. Thankfully, there are also those times when things seem to be going well, and there are good times in life, times that are filled with joy and happiness, and everything just seems to be going so smoothly, and we can be thankful that God gives us those seasons of refreshing as well. And then perhaps most of all, for you as young people, as you think to the future, maybe to your last years of high school or to the beginning of college or what you're going to do with your life, we can have this confidence that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. To know that no matter what decisions we make, no matter what college we attend, no matter what career we pursue, no matter what plans and goals we set for our lives, they are all in the context of the love, the steadfast love of our shepherd for us. And whatever decisions we make, whatever paths we follow, we are never brought out of the love of our good shepherd. And David makes that clear in verses 2 and 3 where he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Isn't it a wonderful thing that our shepherd knows what we need and when we need it even more than we do? Your shepherd knows when you need to lie down and rest. And your shepherd knows when you need the still waters. He knows where those waters are and he knows how to lead you there. Your shepherd delights in restoring your soul. David puts it quite literally, "My life He brings back." Isn't that a wonderful thought? As we said in our prayer this morning, He is a God who does not break the bruised reed. He is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. While we are so prone to wander from Him, He never, never wanders from us. His joy and His delight is to restore us, to bring back our lives. And the paths in which He leads us are righteous paths. They are good paths. They're not always the paths that we would choose for ourselves. And we must confess that we don't always see the end from the beginning. And we may wonder at times, why is the Lord leading us down this path? It doesn't seem to be good. What good can come out of this? It may seem so messy to us in the middle, but God has the big picture. He knows the end. And He knows the paths we need to walk. And He knows the steps we need to take, and He doesn't leave us to walk those paths alone. He leads us. And He leads us not because of who we are, but because of who He is. He does so because of His name. Remember, He has bound Himself to us in covenant bonds. As we sing in one of our hymns, the protection of His child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. Beloved, you are his child. You are his treasure. And he's charged himself with protecting you. The Lord is your shepherd, and he cares for you in life. But then we learn even more than that, that he keeps us in death. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Literally, David says here at the beginning of verse 4, also, when I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil. Or when I walk through the valley of death. And notice, he doesn't say really even though or if I walk, but also when I walk through that valley. If the Lord tarries, there is no question that you and I will all walk that path. There is not an if here. It's a when. We don't often like to think about death. And perhaps as young people and in our younger years, we think very little about death. We tend to think we're invincible and life will just go on forever and ever. But it's good to think about death from time to time. It's good to think about it because that's what we will all experience one day. And David thinks of it here. But he says that even here, in this deep valley of darkness, this deep valley of death, even here in the darkest and deepest place in all of life, I need fear no evil. Because even here, our shepherd is with us. And David puts it so beautifully here in Psalm 23. He says, for you are with me. And here again is one of those places where we just rejoice together that this is God's word, that this is the Bible, that this is what God has inspired for us. And we see evidence of that inspiration so beautifully in Psalm 23. If you were to read Psalm 23 in the original Hebrew and you were to count the words, you would find that this phrase, you with me, is at the exact center of Psalm 23. There are 26 Hebrew words before it. There are 26 Hebrew words after it. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David sets this at the very center of this exquisite psalm. You with me. In fact, he writes it in such a way that all of the focus is on the shepherd. You with me. The word me, once again, is just one little letter. One little letter suffix added to the word with. The emphasis is all on the shepherd. All the focus is on the abiding presence of the shepherd with us. And did you notice what David does here with this phrase? He speaks directly to his shepherd. If you have your Bibles open yet, look at the verses that come before verse 4. Up to this point, David has been talking about the shepherd. Now for the first time, he talks to him. There's a great difference between talking about someone and talking to someone. And again, here we find David talking to his shepherd. You know, in the New Testament, in John 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Well, here in the Old Testament, in Psalm 23, we learn that the shepherd hears the voice of his sheep. And he delights in that. He delights to hear your voice, the voice of his beloved lambs. David goes on as he continues to speak to his shepherd. He says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Our shepherd carries a rod in one hand to drive away all enemies, and he carries a staff in the other hand to lead his sheep. And so there is comfort for the sheep, and there is security. Beloved, you are kept through all of life's ways. Through every valley, through every deep valley, through every dark valley, through every mountaintop. You are kept through every change in life, every wandering of your way. It's always your shepherd who keeps you. And in those deep and dark places, notice, he doesn't leave you there. There are those deep and dark places in life. We all know them. But he doesn't leave you there. Notice David says, we walk through. The good shepherd doesn't leave his sheep in the valley. He keeps us in death and nourishes us there. And even as he nourishes us in life, he nourishes us for all eternity. Look at verses 5 and 6 as we draw to a close. Verse 5, David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And notice David here is continuing to speak to his shepherd, again emphasizing that relationship. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even here in enemy territory, even here in the midst of this world that is no friend to grace, beloved, your shepherd has prepared a table for you, a table to nourish you in the wilderness. One of the great privileges of becoming a member of the church and professing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the joy of coming to the table of the Lord. And that becomes a great benefit for us in the Christian life as we feel very much the attacks of the devil, the attacks of the world, the attacks of our own flesh. Remember the table. Better yet, remember him who sets the table for you and invites you to come. It's our Lord Jesus Christ who gives us the table of the Lord and invites us to come, not because we are worthy, not because we've made ourselves so lovable, not because we're doing so good in the Christian life. He gives us this table because he knows that we're weak. And he knows that we often fail. And he knows that we need that encouragement and we need that nourishment, that we need to be directed again to the once for all sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. And so here at the table, he nourishes our souls unto everlasting life. His invitation to that table is not given begrudgingly, but gladly. David echoes something of that here in verse 5 where he says, "You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." For David, it certainly meant his anointing as king. But you know, for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is promised a throne for us too. We will sit with Jesus on his throne. It's one of the promises he gives in Revelation 2 and 3. And yet, even as for David, that path to the throne was no easy path. We're seeing that in our morning series. So our path is not always an easy path either. It's a path that's filled with many windings of the way. It's a path that's filled with heartache and with many tears and many hardships and trials along the way. But beloved, there is a table for you to nourish you, a table at which you are welcome, a table that reminds you that your cup overflows, that there is an abundance of grace for you. God's resources are such that he gives and he gives and he gives, and his resources never run dry. It's why we can sing that God's grace is greater than all our sin. And you see that echoed so beautifully in the final verse of this beautiful psalm. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And again, David puts it even more strikingly in the original. He says, only goodness and steadfast love will pursue me. Think about that. Only goodness and steadfast love will pursue me. Your shepherd, beloved, pursues you every single day of your life, not to harm you, but to do you good, not to punish you, but to show you his steadfast love, not to drive you away from him, but to draw you to him with his tender cords of love. And that love with which he pursues you in life is a love that will endure for all eternity. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, David puts it literally, I will return to the house of the Lord for the length of days. David's delight was to be near his God. He delighted to hear the voice of his good shepherd. He delighted that his shepherd was merciful and gracious to him. If I can put it this way, David delighted in the gospel. Is that your delight today? Is that gospel more precious to you than the air you breathe, than the food you eat, than the water you drink? Do you know that apart from that gospel, there simply is no life? But in that gospel, there is the abundance of life, of a shepherd who so loves his sheep that he laid down his life for them. Do you delight in that gospel and the privilege to come and hear that gospel from week to week? You see, the Christian life is not such that once we are converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and brought to a saving knowledge in Him, that we can then somehow leave the gospel behind us. We need that gospel every day of our lives. And we need God's ministry of that gospel to us on the Lord's Day, especially through word and sacrament, where our shepherd has promised to minister His grace to us. What is David's assurance? That it is God's mercy and goodness that follows him, that he shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His confidence isn't that somehow he's going to be a great Christian, that somehow he's just going to make himself worthy and lovable, that God could never let him go. No, his confidence isn't in himself at all. His confidence is entirely in the Lord. And so, if you have your Bibles open yet, look at that. At the end of verse 6, what do you have there once again? For the second time in this psalm, you have the word Lord. And again, it's all in capital letters. Again, it's reminding us that God is a covenant God, that He has bound Himself to us. And so you see something of the beauty of Psalm 23. The Lord is at the beginning of the psalm, the Lord is at the end of the psalm, and the Lord is at the center of the psalm. What that means for you as the sheep of the good shepherd, as the lambs of the good shepherd, means that you are enfolded by your God, that you are quite literally held in the arms of the good shepherd, surrounded by those arms, held in those hands, and that he is with you always. And if you ever doubt that, as I suppose all of us do at times, as our circumstances overwhelm us, as life gets hard, if you ever doubt that, then look to Jesus. Jesus, who is the fulfillment of Psalm 23. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who's become a lamb for us. One of my seminary classmates years ago wrote a beautiful poem based on Psalm 23 that is a great comfort. It's a beautiful poem, and I want to share it with you now as we close this morning. It goes like this. The shepherd is my lamb. He tasted my want. He lay down in the wilderness. He endured the judgment storm waters. He relinquished his soul. He was nailed to a cursed cross for my sinful name's sake. Yea, though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he took upon my sin alone under wrath. With the rod and the scourge, they beat him. And he was made to hunger and thirst in the presence of his enemies. His head mocked and crowned with cruel thorns, his cup to be drained. Surely grief and suffering followed him, for he gave up his life in flesh dwelling, that in him I might dwell in glory. The Lamb is my shepherd. I am his sheep. He feeds me with the bread of life. He leads me beside living waters. He redeems my soul. He guides me in his holy steps for his righteous name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of sin, I will fear no death, for you are with me. Your voice and your word, they comfort me. You spread your banqueting table before me in your beloved presence. You crown my head with love and peace. My joy is made full. Surely your grace upon grace pursues me, for in you I have life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lamb forever. And that's where we end in the final book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. As John, the beloved disciple, like David before him, thinks of his Savior, of the Good Shepherd, and sees himself as one of the shepherd's lambs, and sees Jesus as the great shepherd who became a lamb for us. And so we read in Revelation 7 these wonderful words. John writes, "One of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and where have they come from?' I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." What a comfort and what a joy to be a lamb of the Good Shepherd. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, we give thanks to you for your word, and we thank you for your mercies toward us. And even as we have seen in Psalm 23 this morning, and as we reflect on our lives, we know that your mercy is so very tender. Your faithfulness is so great, and your steadfast love is everything to us. So, Father, we do rejoice today in those professions of faith, and for many of us, we can look back on our professions perhaps months ago or years ago, even decades ago. And, Lord, we can see that you've been faithful. Faithful to your promises, faithful in always being a shepherd to us. And Father, for those among us who have not yet professed faith in Christ, We pray that even through your word this morning and through your spirit, they may see something of just how good you are and how there is no life apart from you, and that you would lead each one of them also to confess faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for feeding us in the green pastures of your word, for letting us find rest for our sin-wearied souls once again in Jesus. And so as we draw near to the close of this service this morning, we sing yet a few more songs of praise to you. Fill our hearts with joy as we do so. And as we give of our gifts and offerings, may again we do that too with great joy in our hearts for all of your goodness to us. And then, Father, as we fellowship for a time together this morning, as we hear a little more of your work throughout the world through the ministry of word and deed, may our joy be made full. And Father, we pray that you would receive all the glory for so great a salvation given to us fully and freely in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.